Good morning. It's Sunday, 8th of November. Our first reading for the day is Ezra chapter 1. I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book, The Exile's Return. I read. There was a strong connection with one of the prophecies that godly Israelites would have meditated upon during the long years of captivity. As those who were ready and willing to return had their hands strengthened by any who were staying behind, they would surely recall Isaiah's words, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, Be strong, fear not, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads." That's Isaiah 35. Everything was combining to indicate that this return was God's work, a vindication of his holy name. As the intervention of Moses on behalf of the sinful nation brought before God the remembrance of his great promise to the patriarchs, as we read in Exodus 32, so the earnest prayers of faithful Israelites in captivity had caused him to act openly in the sight of the nations. Confirmation is thus again given that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whereas the exodus from Egypt was part of God's purpose to form a nation who would be witnesses to his existence, the return marks the beginning of a change from a nation headed by a king to a people who meet around a book. Previously, God had sent by his prophets. Now he speaks through his written word as well. The prophets are still there, but the book assumes a greater importance. Preparation is being made for the time when the word was made flesh and spoke powerfully and effectively in the land to which the exiles were now returning. In leaving Mesopotamia and making their way to the land of Palestine, the Jewish exiles were also following a well-worn path. Their route would lead them through the lands of the Fertile Crescent, a path used much earlier by their father Abraham. Partly because of his descent from Eber, Shem's great-grandson, and partly because he came to Canaan from the lands beyond the river, i.e. the Euphrates, one of the probable meanings of the name of Eber, Abraham is called Abram the Hebrew. By crossing over the river from Chaldea to Canaan, he became heir of the promises that were to be fulfilled in the land to which God was leading him. By following the same general path the patriarchs first trod, the point is being emphasised that the returning exiles could have no real hope unless they became like their father Abraham in every respect. They too should be looking for the city which hath foundations, ultimately to be realised in the holy city, New Jerusalem, about which we read in Revelation 21. They too must live by faith in the constancy of their God, and put that faith into practice, showing it by their works. The years that lay ahead of them as they commenced the journey would be a test of their faith, as Abraham's also was tested by the events and circumstances he had to face as he began to settle in the land promised to him and to his seed forever. His descendants had been removed from it on more than one occasion because of unfaithfulness. Would they on this occasion realise what was required by God and serve him faithfully and well? It's a challenging question, and one we do well to ponder as we journey towards Zion, the city of the great King. Thank you for listening to me.